What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Put in another corner!
Why the f*** do I watch this team?
One of the local writers, Adam Hoagie or Hog, excuse me, I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
From CHGO, it's Adam Hoag.
Hey, George.
Hi, Adam.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Adam Johns, go ahead.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Coach Ditka versus the Hurricane, who would win?
Ditka.
Hold on. The name of the Hurricane is Hurricane Ditka.
Here they are. Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Hogan Johns back with you less than a week away from the NFL draft. I'm ready. I'm actually not ready.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm ready for it to be here. I'm not ready from a preparation standpoint, but I want it to be here.
What do you got to do?
I don't know. When you do live shows, Thursday night's relatively easy. We know all those guys. But Friday night's show and the Bears have one pick and we don't know what the hell's going to happen. Like, you know they're going to draft some random guy I've never heard of. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. So you over-prepare to avoid that happening. We'll see.
What if they trade back, add another pick, and take two random guys you've never heard of?
It's possible. So like last year, I was...
You got the Beast. You're fine.
Got the Beast. It's an unbelievable resource. Make sure you're subscribed to theathletic.com/HoganJohns to get the Beast. Our Bears 100 is available on CHGO for our CHGO diehards. All CHGO.com/Bears 100. It's kind of a Bears version, a very, very condensed version. Obviously, I'm not trying to compare it to the Beast at all. But we do get 100 names out there. We rank them for you. This is kind of where I'm trying to get to the finish line on in this final week. We try to tailor it to the Bears. And our guest today, Nick Baumgartner, who we're going to bring in here in a second, I was talking to him earlier, and I was like, yeah, it's just weird because there's like, I feel like there's not even a hot, we kept hearing about how this wasn't a good draft class, and like the guys I'm looking at here in the 80s right now, I'm like, I don't love these guys. And the ones I kind of do, like Mike Sanrestrill, the corner from the slot corner from Michigan, like it's not a positional need for the Bears. So I got him down in the 70s when I know others think he could be a first round pick. So
he's a good football player.
Yeah. It's just kind of a weird 100 this year. And I think Friday night's going to be fascinating. All the attention rightfully so on Thursday, but what happens Friday with the Bears will be super interesting too.
Four picks.
Yeah.
Four picks. I feel like they're going to leave this draft with like five. Not a lot. I mean, they won't add to it a lot, but I feel like they'll leave with a bit more.
Yeah, and I don't think they're sweating not having those picks. Like, I think their moves suggest that. I think what the more and more I look at some of these later picks, I'm just like, I don't know. Whatever. So, good person to talk to about all this is Nick Baumgartner. We're going to bring him in here just to get everything off the top here. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Adam Hoag, at Adam Johns, at Hogan Johns on Twitter. All of our merch, new quarter zips up at HoganJohns.com. Appreciate the feedback on those. People are fired up about it. And you can get those right now, HoganJohns.com. Let's jump in. Nick's the best, based in Detroit, covers the draft year round. For the Athletic, knows the Lions, knows the NFC North, knows Michigan and all their prospects. So perfect guest to have here less than a week before the draft. Let's bring him in, Nick Baumgartner. All right, let's bring in Nick Baumgartner. Always love having him on the show, especially when it comes to sort of zeroing in on the NFC North. But we're going to hit on a bunch of stuff with Nick today. You should be following him on Twitter at Nick Baumgartner, reading him in The Athletic. You can go to theathletic.com/HoganJohns to subscribe if you're not already, and you should be, because I don't know there's a better place to get draft information right now. We're talking about Dane Brugler's The Beast, but Nick and the whole staff putting together the consensus big board, which is available on there as well. Nick, thanks so much for jumping on with us. We are now less than a week away.
I know. I was actually down in Detroit last night. I was downtown. I saw the airplane hangar down there. So it looks pretty. They're ready. They are ready. They got signs everywhere, the whole thing. So ready to go. Saw a Bill Laimbeer picture for some reason.
Wow.
Down there. So, yeah, the city is ready to go for this. They've been waiting. So, yeah,
I have to say, of all the things the NFL has turned into like a massive thing,
I know, right?
Nothing to me is more impressive than turning something that could literally be done on a computer at home into what has become this massive 3-day multi-network. Fans go attend it, and they're like happy to be there too. It's red carpet, the whole thing. Like I think this is the most impressive thing that the NFL has turned into a spectacle.
Yeah. And like the thing that I always tell people every year is I'm like, can you believe that they haven't been doing this for 40 years? Like they've only been doing it for like 5 or 6 or something like that. Like it's not that old, but like what a perfect like outside stand around drink beer event. Right. Like there's really not a better one in the spring than this one. So
great stuff. I like the idea of the draft in Detroit, and there's just a bunch of bad boy references.
Yeah, like just go for it, I guess. Yeah, just
Pistons glory days, Bill Laimbeer's presenting picks. You know, why not?
Everything's going to be just combined, and yeah, they get the black jerseys back, right? So that was exciting.
We'll see.
Dan Campbell requested them. Apparently,
I want to hit on that in a second, but real quick, we'll see how this goes into Green Bay next year, though.
Yes, that's a good point.
It's snowing in Green Bay.
No one can get there.
People are still ice skating across the street from Lambeau. They're apparently not doing the stadium renovations they were going to do for it. It's sort of a mess. Stuck in
Appleton there, and they can't get out of traffic.
I do actually want to ask you about the uniforms that the Lions revealed yesterday. Because first of all, looking at the normal ones, I can't really tell what's different.
Yeah.
First of all,
right. It's subtle,
but I do like them. Like I know there's something different because I'm like these look better to me than what the Lions have had out there. And 100%. Then the black ones I actually kind of like. The blue helmet almost looks like Carolina Panther-ish to me, but I actually like them.
So I think the difference with the original or the regular ones is the numbers. They change the font on the numbers, and they look far more like they did in the 90s. Like if you remember like the old Chris Spielman days.
Oh yeah.
So these jerseys to me, and I think a lot of other people agree, they look like that. They look more like a modern version of that, which is pretty cool. And then the black jerseys, I think they're also going to have black pants, which they did not wear the black pants when they originally had the black jerseys. And of course, Campbell played with the black jerseys. And I mean, look, I tried to say this on Twitter before. Campbell requested apparently of the Lions. We want the black ones back whenever we get a chance to change it. Anyone who's played football on any level, all black uniforms, there's nothing better. Like all black tape, all black, like there is nothing better than that. Players love that stuff. So it wasn't shocking to hear that, but I thought they were pretty cool. And I almost thought that the blue helmet last year, they unveiled that last year, was because they were going to do this. Like it kind of makes sense that they went together, you know, black and blue.
Ah, the old black and blue division.
The old black and blue. Yeah.
I like
pretty
it.
Cool.
I mean, I'm kind of a uniform snob. So when any team reveals,
I can be too. But yeah,
I can be very critical of it. But I like what the Lions did. So they've passed that test. And honestly, what has seemed to me like otherwise a kind of a quiet offseason for them. We'll touch a little bit more on the Lions a little bit later on. I want to kind of stick to the draft to start, and we'll start with this because you did a redraft of last year's draft that came out earlier this week on The Athletic, and you know, a couple highlights. Not surprisingly, you got the Panthers taking CJ Stroud instead of Bryce Young. You still have the Texans taking Bryce Young second them, but to kind of gear this towards the Bears, I think a couple things that are interesting. There's sort of been this ongoing Jalen Carter, Darnell Wright debate here off and on. Darnell Wright had a pretty good rookie year. Jalen Carter had a great first half, then sort of fell off. Obviously, the Bears traded back one spot, let the Eagles take Carter. You have Jalen Carter 5th. So actually moving up to the Seattle Seahawks, and you have Darnell Wright actually falling back all the way down to 15 to the New York Jets. What went into that?
So to me, I thought last year even, to me, I liked Darnell Wright. And this is one of those things where this is tough because it's a guy that I don't want to drop all the way out because I think he'd still be a first round pick and I think he'd probably still be in the teens. Maybe he'd be right where he was. But like I thought that was a little high for him last year. I thought a little bit high. I don't know if I would have taken him there. But he's also been a good player for them. Like he was a good run blocker last year. I think he's going to be a good one for a long time. Like he's a really good, solid player, exactly what they needed, which is why I really didn't hate the pick. And maybe they would have done it again. But to me it's like I'm just going back and looking at, you know, how these guys performed when they were sort of at their best. And Carter is one. And that was a hard one, too, because I don't know if Seattle would not take Witherspoon again because he was so good. But Carter is a difference-making, you know, player. And it's one of those things where I guess you run that risk with everybody of can your locker room handle this or not? And Chicago made the decision that it made last year, obviously. Like, we don't want to do that. And I think a lot of other teams did the same thing, and that's totally fine based on where you're at. But based on a redraft on talent, like, nobody at that position did as much damage. Will Anderson was, you know, probably better, but like, when Carter was right, he was just wrecking people as a rookie, you know, so it's hard to argue with that.
You've done this exercise for a few years.
Yeah.
Now, and I know, you know, teams to a certain extent review their own process, their own thinking. Like, is there anything that you've learned about, I don't know, the way teams draft or maybe overthink things?
Yeah.
When you go through this exercise, you know, the past few years.
Yeah, it's definitely like when a team gets caught trying to get something that it feels like it needs, you know, that it's like it's backed up against the wall and it has to have this. That's almost always where you see the mistakes. It's not
like
always
reaches. Like reaches.
Yeah, right. Where they yes. Yeah. Like with the all those quarterbacks a couple years ago, for example, or Chicago doing that with Fields, where it's like you're not taking into account the context of your team. And the Bears have done such a good job since then of getting themselves ready to do what they're about to do. But the reason why they're doing it again is because they weren't in position to draft a quarterback when they did it. And it's either you're reaching on a guy because you feel like we have to have a receiver, so we're going to take a guy higher than, or we have to have a pass rusher, so we have to take a guy higher than maybe we would like to otherwise. But like some of the ones with the quarterbacks and some of those bigger ones, especially the quarterbacks, it's not looking at the context of your roster. Like a lot of people right now have talked about the Giants as maybe they should take a quarterback. Like, what would that do? You know, that would just complicate everything that's going on right now. They're already not good. It's not going to help the guy that you bring in, you know, like, and so I think when I go back and look at it, the most easiest, like, wow, they really overthought this is you just didn't look at the context of your roster and somebody's trying to sell tickets or somebody was trying to make a splash or do something like that. And those things pop up a lot more than you think. And they pop up in like little spots, right? If a team trades up sometimes and you're like, why did they do that? Like, and sometimes a team will trade up and get a great player or you think they get a great player at a position that they end up getting a better player later in the draft. And it's like, what are you doing? Like, play your board, settle down, understand what you're doing and don't freak out. Like, so many people freak out on draft night. I think still. And, that's why those front offices with real scouting backgrounds, like those guys that just were scouts and that's how they came up, typically are the ones that have the most success.
So just to kind of close the book on your redraft in terms of the Bears. So with Wright going to 15, that means the Bears passed on him, right, in your redraft. Yeah. And they end up taking Puka Nacua. Okay. So before fans freak out, like, damn good wide receiver. Mm-hmm. That ended up having 114 catches and almost 1,700 yards.
Broke a bunch of records,
yeah. Yeah, as a rookie. Yeah. Pretty damn good pick. And then that course creates an interesting situation in hindsight, because if you had gone that route, mm-hmm. we're probably not talking so much about Roma Dunze this year potentially being a Bear, and more likely like grabbing one of these offensive tackles, which still could be on the board, but right. It's just kind of interesting to think about it that way.
And that's where I think like – and. It's interesting because the Bears, I think, have done a really good job this year of prepping for this edge class not being very good. Like, they took care of their needs and corner, too. Like, they don't really, you know, corner's not a great class. But maybe in this case, last year, we could argue, you know, you could have waited a tackle, certainly. Or you could have waited till this year because this tackle class is outstanding. And, yeah, I mean, you could hindsight it. But I also don't really like to do that for a team like Chicago in that case because – Wright's a good player. Like, he is a good, and that's all you're really trying to do at the end of the day here when you're rebuilding is you're just trying to get good quality players who are going to start. Like, I think he's a keeper. I think he's a guy that's going to be there for a while. Like, I think they'd probably agree. Like, you know, there's things that you can improve upon if you're him, of course, but that's a solid, steady pick. And it's one of those things, like, when I look at what Detroit did with Jack Campbell, I don't think I wouldn't have taken him where they took him, but like, he's a pretty good player. He's probably going to be a pretty good player for a long time. So like, whatever, like, that's fine with me. At the end of the day, if you look back on it, you can't hate it too much.
One of my favorite things that The Athletic does is build these consensus big boards. We've been doing it for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
There's always updates because there's always movement and there's so many, I guess, resources to kind of funnel in together.
Exactly, yeah.
So the last one, maybe the last one came out this week.
Yeah, right? I think it is the last one. Yeah.
On Tuesday. Where's been the most movement? Like, and what do you see? Like, what are your final takeaways? If this is the last consensus big board, where you have 100 prospects ranked 1 through 100.
This time, you know, this was the beast reset. That was, so every time Dane whenever he launches the beast, we always do one the week after every time. So because you can always see there's like 4 or 5 guys in there that'll have plus 14, minus 16, minus 17, because Dane ranked them somewhere where everybody else didn't have them. Like he has them and he just resets the whole, you know, the whole market, so to speak, of where these guys are looked at. But like in some cases, like a Tavondre Sweat was the big one over the last couple of weeks. He got the DWI there. But it was more than that. It was obviously you don't want to have a DWI, you know, a couple of weeks out from the draft. But it's really kind of indicative of like advanced deeper scouting. Like Dane had it in the beast. A lot of scouts were already concerned about, you know, his, you know, party animal type reputation in college. And I think he talked to NFL teams about it. Like they asked him about it and he was sort of open. Like, yes, I partied a lot. Like I did a lot of stuff off the field that I probably shouldn't have. There's been questions about his weight. Like, so a lot of the stuff that leaks out at this time of year is, you know, stuff like that, stuff that the teams have been compiling that, you know, we think maybe this guy, but we're not really sure. Like a lot of people were like, oh, Sweat's done a really good job this offseason at staying at 366. Well, it turned out last year he was like 385. Like, so it's like, there's a lot of that stuff that's leaking out right now. But for the most part, it's all been pretty well set. You know, it's like the combine will change it quite a bit. The Senior Bowl will change it quite a bit. But once you get past the combine, it really kind of just sticks and doesn't change much.
There also seemed to be some movement like amongst the receivers. Now 5 spots there, maybe yeah. 1 spot here. Is this just because there's so many of them?
I think
in the
so.
Top 100?
There's usually, and usually there's, we when we do this last year, especially because it wasn't a good receiver class, the receivers are always way too high. But this year, I actually think some of them are way too low. And I think people have gotten, because we've seen several years of this where the depth at receiver has been so good that everybody just gets numb to this. I feel like, you know, you're getting these guys in the 4th round, 5th round, and they're playing really well. Like Puka was a 6th round pick for crying out loud. And he's, you know, the best rookie in the league. And so there's a lot of this, like, well, we'll just wait, you know, wait. And so I think that that blends into the whole, like, we don't want to rush it. We'll just wait. But like Neighbors, Odunze, and Marvin Harrison are elite football players. They could all be top 5, top 4, you know, players on a number of boards, all 3 of them, you know, this year. It wouldn't shock me at all. And then you go into the deeper part of the class where you talk about guys like Ladd McConkey, Adonai Mitchell, like those are 1st round picks in my book. Keon Coleman, I think, is underrated in a lot of ways. Like, so I think that people have nitpicked receivers forever just because it's the easiest position to look at the numbers, like the testing scores, like if somebody had a slow 40 or whatever. But, you know, the position is more advanced than it's ever been. And I feel like right now, this year is one of the best classes we've seen in a while. It's really good. There should be more of them up, I feel like, in the top 30 or top 40 there.
To your point on Tavondre Sweat, Dane ended up dropping him completely out of his top 100.
Yeah, he's a 4th round grade he gave him. So yeah, that's a big one.
And we don't have him included on our Bears 100 either at CHGO. And earlier did have him in there. And it's just one of those things where, like, when you got concerns and then you do something stupid like that with the DUI rip right for the draft. I mean,
right before.
Man. It wouldn't completely shock me if he goes undrafted. I mean, but.
No, right. Exactly. Like, I mean, I doubt that. But yes, I agree with you. It's like what I think might end up happening there is you're sitting there in like the 6th round. And everybody's like, what the hell happened here? And then it turns out, well, it's not just the DWI, you know. So some of that stuff's been leaking out on him. But he is a super talented player. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. We'll see.
As far as, like, overall storylines go, like, what are some of your favorite right now? What are some of the ones you're tracking as someone who's in Detroit?
Well, I think that the quarterback situation is the fascinating one. And the Bears, to me, there's a couple teams, I think, this year. The Bears, the Cardinals. Like, I'm still fascinated with the Chargers. You know, what Harbaugh's out there, of course. But, like, this division has just gotten better and better. Obviously, Minnesota has made the moves. And I think we all think what they're going to do is probably go up and get a quarterback here. We know Chicago is going to do that. And so to me, it's the, you know, it's going to be really cool. It's going to be very different. Like, I love Caleb Williams. I think that's going to be awesome. I actually think if Minnesota can go up and get McCarthy, I think that's a great fit for that offense and their coach and everything that they do there. I don't think they'd have to rush him. I think they could wait a little bit, maybe. Like, I think the division right now, and with what Detroit's doing, like, everything they do fits their coach. Green Bay is in a similar situation right now. I mean, it's just been really cool to watch all of these teams. And the Bears, I think, are kind of in the final stage of that. But I think they're going to do it because they've got enough talent on the roster now. And it's like they're in a position where you kind of can't mess this up. I feel like, at least in the draft, they're going to be better. They're going to be playoff level good. And you've seen them all go from kind of like they were – all of them have been on their ass, and they've all kind of had to build and come against the grain in some ways. All these GMs have faced a lot of criticism. They've all faced a lot of like, what the hell are you doing with that? What are you doing with that trade? What are you doing with that pick? And a lot of them have been able to go back and say, well, maybe it turned out okay, right? So it's been cool to watch that happen. And I think for me, where the quarterbacks all fall and then kind of what Chicago does. I want to see really what they do to finish this off because it's been a really cool – thing to watch. They were terrible, as you guys know, just horrible a couple years ago. And it's, as we know, it doesn't take much to get that thing turned around in the NFL.
So who are some of your favorite players, like your guys, your, you know, the guys you're kind of banging the table for, that, you know, but whether they're getting respect or not, just the ones that you're just like, yeah, I just feel really, really confident that this dude's going to work out.
The two corners at the top, Terry Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell, are outstanding players and outstanding character guys. Like they're going to fit in any situation that they're thrown into. Really, really tough, solid all around football players. Like those are my two probably favorite defenders. Like I would take them over, over probably Dallas Turner. I love Cooper DeJean. I think everybody does at this point, cause he can play 100 different things. The punt return stuff is so valuable with him. You know, I don't know how much he holds up outside, but I also don't care. Like, I feel like he's a guy that you can change defenses and not have to take him off the field. I love Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon, who I think could also play guard. And I think is, I think he's 20, 21. Like, he was a Remington winner as a junior and as a first year starting center. Like, he, that's the first time he's ever played center. He won the Remington. Like, his instincts are outstanding at 21 years old. And to me, Jackson Powers Johnson is one of my favorites in the class because I feel like, a couple years ago, this happened with Tyler Linderbaum. You know, everybody knew this kid was going to be outstanding coming out of Iowa, but he's a center. And so it was like, well, what's going to happen? Like the Ravens got him in like in the 20s and he was a Pro Bowler like immediately and everybody knew it. No one was shocked. And it's like, what value is that? Right. So JPJ feels like he could be one of those to me. Like he's going to fall to somebody and then just be immediately like a Pro Bowler somewhere. And people would be like, what the hell happened there? You know,
I remember on draft night when that happened with Linderbaum.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, just good franchises.
He's so good. Yeah.
But right. Like good franchises like the Ravens, who've been drafting well forever, are just like, okay, yeah, we'll just take that really good player that fell to us. Like it just and seems then, it just seems to always happen that way.
They did it again with Kyle Hamilton. Like I don't know if it was the same draft or the next year, but
I think
it
was the same draft.
I think it was. I think they had both those guys.
Those two guys are all pros. Like they're gonna be like, I don't want to say Hall of Famers, but they're gonna be there for like 14 years, you know. And it's like, don't overcomplicate some of this stuff. Like if you've got a guy that's so rock solid like that, just take him and don't worry about it. And,
I'm glad you brought up the two cornerbacks because I feel like, well, one, like almost every year a cornerback goes in the top 10, you know,
first usually
the top five or six. And yet no one is talking about the position, right. At least it feels like why do you think that is?
I think that like to your point, I think that every year everybody wants to have a corner that they feel like can go up there. But I think if you look back over time, for every Witherspoon and Sauce Gardner, there's more Jeff Okudas and there's more guys that somebody took up there and reached, and it was just not the right decision to make. I think that's part of it. But I also think in this particular case, this quarterback thing has just shaken the whole thing up. And the fact that the tackles are so good and you got three receivers that are no doubt top 10 picks, but really it's the quarterbacks. I would not have had Jaden Daniels probably in my top five. Certainly, I don't know if I'd have had him in my top 10. I would not have had McCarthy in my top 20, but they're both going to go in the top 10, probably the top five. And because that's just how the NFL is. So You know, those corners are going to get pushed, and everybody needs a quarterback this year. Everybody waited on this class, and there are four or five, you know, first round gradable, you know, players. So you got to do it. And I think that's affecting a position like corner and probably edge to a degree as well.
So let's run through the North real quick. And I want to start with the Vikings. You mentioned earlier, JJ McCarthy being a fit there. I tend to agree, even if it feels like if it's going to be a reach, especially if
take a minute
trade up, which seems like it's on the table. But just, I mean, how much do you feel like, just what do you feel about the general direction of the Vikings having to reset their quarterback spot, not having Kirk Cousins? They just, to me, they just seem like, regardless of what happens next weekend, it would be surprising if they're not the fourth place team this year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it feels like they're trying to reset right now. The unique thing about them is I don't think they're in a position where they have to just, like everybody else in this division, except for, I guess, Green Bay, but they kind of even had to do this. Like you had to go from the studs up and really rebuild the roots and everything of your roster. Minnesota's still got some really good players on the team. Like, it's not just Jefferson. Like, they've still got some good players who have a good window here, but like, they are going to have to take a minute, especially with this division being as good as it is. That's why I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to go get McCarthy, get a bridge guy in there, have him so you're not panicking. You don't have to. If he can play this year, he can play this year. But like, whatever. You're not rushing anything and you're not freaking out. Like, the expectation is not going to be for him to look good. You know, I think that would be the situation there that you're hoping for. But I like the opportunity that they have, because I did not think paying Kirk Cousins what he was obviously going to get would have been smart, because they're not good enough on the opposite side of the coin to make a run at anything. It's a similar thing to when the Lions were in that spot with Stafford. And obviously Stafford was better, but everybody was like, in Detroit was like, you got to pay him. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, they're horrible. Like, what, they're going to make a run with Stafford and like a water cooler. Like, there's nothing else here, right? So at some point it becomes not ideal. And I think for Minnesota, they kind of they were going to get to that point sooner than later. And I think they did it beforehand at a time when you go get a quarterback. And who's to say, maybe they jump higher than four. I don't know. Maybe they go up and get Drake May or something, or Jaden Daniels. I don't know. Maybe they get one of those guys. And then who knows how they jump in. But I like the opportunity that they have to change their direction. Yeah.
I just feel like, for some reason, maybe it's because he played at Michigan and maybe it's because he's from Chicago, but like JJ McCarthy just feels bound to play in this division.
For
some reason.
And right? Like all the run handoffs he's made in his life.
Yes. Like, and just the way, the identity of the division for so long. And I know things have changed a little bit, but like, I don't know, maybe going off that, like, you covered Michigan, you know, Michigan, right? Like, are you kind of surprised that now we're talking about JJ McCarthy in this way, you know, Vikings quarterback, top five, top six pick? Like, what do you make of all of it?
I'm not shocked. I'm a little surprised that, I guess, that the top five, but also when I think back on it, it's like, no, because there were so many teams that needed a guy this year. And I thought, ever since I first probably saw him in Michigan Stadium take a hit and make a throw with the balance and the weird arm angle and the athleticism and everything, like, you just know. I mean, you see the ball come out of a guy's hands, you're like, this guy has first round stuff. Like, all of it. It's top half of first round stuff. The problem with him, and it's the same as it was back then, is he is so aggressive and he is so downfield oriented. He's like Jim Harbaugh. He plays the game just like Jim did. Downfield oriented. I'm not taking a sack. I'm not taking an incomplete pass. I'm not throwing the ball away. If it's third and 14, I am not throwing it underneath. We're going for 15, like that sort of stuff. The mentality and the mindset and everything else is exactly what you want. It's just there's a consistency and time on task, I guess, because he went to a school that just doesn't throw the ball. And, you know, and that's just what it was. They did not throw the ball at any type of clip that anybody else does. I think, like, Nate Tice says this so well. Like, if you watch Caleb Williams or Drake May for a four-quarter game, there's going to be maybe 10 to 15, let's say, maybe that's too high, 10, let's say 10 translatable NFL throws that we saw in that game that's going to go to the NFL that he'll be asked to make at the next level. When McCarthy plays, it's like one or zero. You know, because they don't ask him to do anything, but he makes them. So it's like there's the enticement there. I like him a lot. I think he's a, like I said, I think he's a lot like Harbaugh, you know, and one of those guys who's a survivor and a winner. I think he's, I don't think he's lost more than one start in his life, and that included high school. So yeah, he's a, he's got some of that special pixie dust a little bit on him where he just kind of wins. And I think that's what's attracting him to teams as well.
What about the Packers and all this? Like, I, they're just,
yeah,
there in the division. I don't like, I don't
want free agency too. Yeah.
Yeah. There's,
you can't say that here in Chicago.
They're just there.
They're always there.
Well, they are, but like, I'm just knowing. No one, the only, winning. I feel like the only time the Packers have come up this offseason is when like the drama with their stadium renovations. Like, what
I know, it's like, what? It's like kind of a, yeah, Rodgers is gone and they're just boring now, huh?
I don't know. Like, so what's the conversation with the Packers right now? What should they be doing next weekend? I don't know.
They got a lot of picks. They have a lot of picks. And I feel like they almost have too many. I would be curious if they don't make a move and go up and get somebody. They have a lot of draft picks, and they have a lot of good young talent. They have drafted well. They could use. They need some help on the offensive line. I think they could use a running back. I think they probably still need some safety and corner depth, even though they did spend money there. But like, they have a lot of really good young players that got a lot of experience last year in the playoffs, like when it mattered, and you know, won a big game and saw all that. Were able to get up off the mat after having a rough, you know, kind of year of the year before, really kind of a rough, like maybe first half of last season, played so well down the stretch. It was a lot like what Detroit did the year before, where they went into the playoffs and they actually made it. And then all that momentum. So they're feeling really good about themselves. I almost wonder if they're in a position maybe to go up and get somebody. If there's somebody on the board that they really like or really got to have, I don't know who that would be. I don't know if that's the one trick about it is I don't know if there's necessarily a need that they have right now that they have to go do that. But I thought about that for them because they have a lot of picks. And at least, especially in the top 100. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
All right. Let's bring it back home for you quite well, literally with the Lions, Detroit. Win the division, playoff team, thinking Super Bowl. Like, what's missing? What do they need? What's their strategy for this year?
So I think it's the strategy is just it's going to be best player. And if that means corner, that's a corner. If that means offensive lineman, it's an offensive lineman. Receiver, that's a receiver. So I don't know what they're going to do there. And I think it's been the most flexible situation they've probably had since Holmes has been there in terms of they can really kind of do anything. I mean, anything but quarterback is probably on the table there. I've considered them as a trade-up team too. I mean, they have a decent amount of assets this year. They did get rid of one when they brought in Davis there, the corner from Tampa, you know, this offseason, and that kind of alleviates somewhat of a need there. But I still think you need to address secondary, corner, safety, probably another receiver, and they probably still need to address offensive line, both with they didn't pay Jonah Jackson, and Frank Ragnow is, you know, pretty beat up, and we don't know how much longer, you know, he'll be able to go, I guess. So, you know, I do wonder, though, if, you know, let's say we just talked about Quinyon Mitchell or Terrion Arnold falling. Like, if one of those guys falls into the teens, like, and I feel like if they have enough assets, I feel like they could go do it because they don't need that much. It's like, you don't need that much stuff. You have a lot of young players on your roster right now that are going to play a lot that you're paying and you're trying to pay. So draft depth, draft replacements for older guys, and then, you know, try to maybe if you like a guy, go up and get him and be aggressive and go finish that off. I think that could be what we see from Detroit this year.
Who do the fans want? I mean, it's in Detroit. I mean, who?
They want them to just pick a guy at this point. They don't want them to trade back because that's the thing is they all want to go down there and get hammered and stand there because they're picking 29, right? Because every year, forever, the Lions have always picked in like the top five, right? And it's right off the chute. But the first time it's ever in Detroit, they're picking 29. So now the paranoia that I hear from everyone is like, they're not going to trade back, are they? We're not going to go down there and then not have them pick. I'm like, I don't know. They might trade back. But like, it's been a mixed bag. I think most of the people are just like, I want to hear them pick someone. That's it. I don't care.
What are the fans going to do when the Bears pick Caleb Williams first? Like, what's the reaction going to be?
Very loud. I think boo heavily. I think they'll boo the Bears, the Packers, the Vikings, anyone else who's ever wronged them in their mind. I don't know. There's probably some other teams.
A lot of teams there. I imagine.
Cowboys. Yeah. A lot of teams there, but I keep telling them, I'm like, I think the Lions are a trade up candidate. So, they'll cheer all the Michigan guys that go. That'll be another one.
Say McCarthy gets picked by the Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
What are they doing?
Yeah, it'll be a big cheer. They'll cheer Harbaugh's. They'll probably cheer him, yeah, for the Vikings. I don't think Lions fans care as much about the Vikings as they do the Bears and the Packers. It's maybe it's a proximity thing, but they'd cheer that. And then Harbaugh, I think they would probably cheer him too, his whatever happens there with the Chargers.
I was studying Braden Fisk the other night, and I tweeted this. I'm like, I feel like he's already a Detroit Lion. Like, Dan Campbell is going to kidnap this guy, not let anyone take him. He's just a ball of energy, not the, you know, he's not going to win any, you know, size, weight, competitions. But he tested off the charts, and he's just 110% energy on every snap. I'm just like, this is grit. This is grit. This is a Dan Campbell.
And he played his first 4 years at Western Michigan, Kalamazoo.
Yeah.
So he's a local-ish. I don't know if he's from Michigan. He might be.
Michigan City, Indiana, actually.
Okay, so hey,
somewhat we'll close to Chicago, actually.
Well, he's in the middle. He's going to be a Bear or a Lion or somewhere in this division because that's 100% true. He is a Tasmanian devil off the ball. Everything about him is that first step and just getting into somebody and getting into like a fist fight with them. And then the other guy just being like, whatever, okay. And then like, you know, it's the rep's over. The problem with him, of course, is like 31 inch arms or something. Really short. So if he doesn't win immediately, it's a problem. But yeah, I love him a lot. He's a lot of fun.
So I also love the victory laps that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell seem to be taking. I saw this on Twitter yesterday and I'm just like, I read it. Like, wait a minute. How is this going over in the building? Because he had a press conference yesterday, Brad Holmes did. And he alluded to a pick the Lions made last year where nobody in the room wanted the guy except for him and Dan Campbell, and they drafted him. And I'm like, what? Like, first of all, I doubt that's true. And two, how is that? Did you just throw your entire scouting staff under the bus?
Yeah, that was one where I'm like, man, he might be apologizing for that one the next time he talks to somebody, because he has, it's more Holmes than Campbell, been feeling himself a little bit here over the last months and maybe the last year, we'll say. You know, he took a lot of flack in the first draft and a half, we'll say two drafts, for a lot of different picks that they made. And then last year, too, nationally took a lot of flack for a lot of different picks at different times. And then every time a guy hits, he likes to come back and spike the football like 3 or 4 months later, but usually with the media. So this is the first time he's ever done the whole like, it was just me and Dan. And I'm like, I don't know if that's going to be agreed upon inside the room. And I don't think it was. I don't think it necessarily was. So, yeah, I don't know if you'll hear too much more of that from him, but maybe. I don't know if he cares either because he's made a lot of, like, really good picks. So, you know, that's what it is. It's like he hasn't missed much, and he lets you know about it when he doesn't.
He's keeping the receipts.
He has kept all of them. Campbell says he is saving his receipts for later, but he has many of them on his own. So I don't know what that means. I assume that if they win the Super Bowl or something, he'll – let his out, but
everybody who made fun of me for my knee biting comment,
right? I think that that's what it, I think there's a lot of people in the media that like probably made some really bad statements that have probably already had to eat those, but I think he's waiting on that a little bit.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do, what this whole division does. We'll circle back of course ahead of the season to so I have some thoughts on the Lions, you know, season. And
they're in an interesting place here. Yeah. They're in an interesting spot.
So we'll circle back. We got plenty of time to do that before the season begins. But Nick, thank you so much. Enjoy the draft and start cracking on 2025, man. Come on.
I started putting guys in the old sheet a couple weeks ago. I got to get, we got to get moving. Dane's 6 months ahead of everyone on this already, as you know. So He'll have a ranking ready to go when the next draft ends. So
yeah, I actually heard a rumor that the 2025 beast is dropping tomorrow.
Yeah, right. I don't think so. Maybe, maybe not. But he'll be ready to go with something, I'm sure.
Nick, thanks so much, man.
You bet, fellas.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs is the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. Because when you're looking for a job, Hogan Johns fans, you want the best experience possible. No questions left to answer and sketchy websites to navigate around. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. And over 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Adam. That's linkedin.com/Adam to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Any initial thoughts there?
No, I mean, there's so much. This whole draft conversation, it was kind of fun to go around the division a little bit. I didn't know about the Lions doing victory dances on their drafts until, yeah, you know, we were talking pre-show about what we wanted to get to today, you know, which is when you're winning, you can do that. I'm just trying to think, like, if we had like Ryan Poles, I mean, obviously knows that he won that Carolina Panthers trade, but going back, like Phil Emery would keep receipts, but not a lot of good drafts.
I think they all keep receipts to some extent, but you don't. The thing about what Holmes said yesterday was just like, yeah, nobody on my scouting staff wanted this guy, and we just took him anyway. Like, that's different. That's,
you just took him anyway.
Like, most GMs are like, yeah, man, couldn't have done it without the staff, all the scouts. You know, usually they'd be the first to be like, hey, our West Coast regional scout found this guy. Like, he's the reason we got him. You know, I don't know if I've ever heard a GM go, yeah, we don't want him, but you know, Dan and I wanted him.
Yeah, I wanted him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's happened before.
Well,
but
no, it's definitely happened where the GM, well, I mean, there's just different forces,
yeah,
that play sometimes, right? Like, it's just, it's the dynamics of,
well, it's NFL rarely football unanimous in the room. As much as they want to say it is, like when Ryan Pace talked about drafting Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
We've heard, you know, plenty of stories since that have debunked that it was unanimous.
Yeah, speaking of like the division. So Alec Lewis, the Athletic's Vikings writer, you've seen him on the show a couple times. He did a story earlier this week about why teams often get it wrong. And in the draft, I mean, and like the big takeaway of it, please check it out, was, well, teams tend to overrate their own thinking, their own strategy, their own prowess, like their own expertise. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get moves traded up when you just got to play the odds sometimes. Then the hit rate is, you know, like you're going to miss. As good as you feel about certain players, like look at Mitch Trubisky, look at that story. Like, odds are you're going to miss just as much as you're going to hit.
Yeah. Well, don't tell people that about Caleb Williams.
Different conversation.
Yeah, it is a little bit different, hopefully. Well, I do, if we're done with the football stuff, I do want to bring up one non-football thing here before we close out. By the way, we'll have one more episode before the draft next week, and we'll make our hold our feet to the fire and make our predictions for what the Bears are going to do at number 9. I think we get it. It's like kind of getting a free space this year at number 1. So I technically can move my streak to 2 years in a row of getting the first Bears first pick right.
No, because you got Darnell right.
I did.
I can't even remember who I picked last year.
I actually was trying to think of that too. I can't remember.
Paris Johnson?
Maybe. I don't know.
The wrong offensive tackle?
I don't know if you went O-line. Here, let's look at the...
And the Peter Skronsky stuff became like a bit, but like, I can't recall.
I think you might have said Skronsky. Did you?
Might have.
So I'm looking at all the other options that, I don't know.
You know who's my Darnell Wright? Like, look at him because you should, because he's the Bears. Like, because there was some buzz about Darnell Wright later in the process. Like, Byron Murphy seems to be one that's growing. I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying it too much, but.
Well, I personally like him a ton. And I think he's a great fit for what the Bears need. The two things I can't figure out are A, what, how do they really feel about Jerron Dexter right now?
Yeah.
But we do know they went after Christian Wilkins, right? They at least kicked the tires on him.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's, and Javon Hargrave the year before, that was before they drafted Jerron Dexter, but it's like, okay, I mean, I still think interior D-line can be in play if they find somebody who's, who they consider a blue chip player. The problem with Byron is just, you know, I don't know the size and the length thing, and it, it's, he's a, he's more of an Aaron Donald type size guy compared to, you know, the DeForest Buckner comp, which is why we, you know, they, Jerron Dexter, they seem to go after him last year because he's just a massive dude and he fits that better, which seems to be Matt Eberflus's preference on his defense. But I don't know. We're only 2 years.
I mean, Matt Eberflus would take Aaron Donald, but I'm not sure Byron Murphy's Aaron Donald.
Right. And I'm not trying to suggest he is.
Isn't the same collegially.
No, but I do think there are some similarities there that when, if his one knock is his height, I think he uses that to his advantage, actually, when I watch him, so, which is what I said about Aaron Donald coming out. So, yeah, it's not to say that he's going to be Aaron Donald. Nobody's going to be Aaron Donald.
He's one of the best defensive players of all time.
But he is more Aaron Donald size-wise than he is DeForest Buckner. That's all. And obviously, Flus had Buckner and Indy, and they went to, so that's the thing with him. So my gut kind of tells me he's not a Bears fit, but I personally like him. I think he's going to be a good player, and I do think that that's a position they really need, which is why, you know, that is why interesting talking to Nick about Jalen Carter redrafting at 5 and Darnell Wright back at 15. I'm sure many Bears fans would disagree, but I always like hearing the outside perspective on stuff like that. So yeah.
What was your non-football thing?
I know it's hard for me to go off the board with football. I don't know if you saw me tweeting around midnight last night about Idaho's punter kicker.
No, thank God.
He kicks with his right foot and he punts with his left.
All right, that's kind of cool.
How do you not give that guy your 90th roster spot in the offseason? You get two camp legs in one.
You just want to see it.
I'm doing a bit here. But in all seriousness, I was watching them play Southern Illinois on December 2nd, as one does, right?
You're watching this at midnight?
No. What I did last night was go, I keep notes throughout the year when I'm watching college football. I'm not sitting there with my computer, like filling out drafts. I just will, with my phone, I'll put it in like iPhone notes or whatever. And I keep it in a folder under the draft. And eventually I get to the point closer to the draft where I'm looking at some of this more peripheral stuff that like just jog my memory from. And so I was doing this last night and I came across this Idaho punter, Ricardo Chavez, I believe. And by the way, this isn't my non-football thought, obviously. And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about this guy. I'm like, wait, is he in the draft this year? And so I went to the Beast. And Dane's got him as his number 10 punter, priority free agent. Not listed as a kicker, even though he does both. But I remember watching this game because they're playing at Southern Illinois and it was a playoff game. That's why it was on my TV in early December. And I'm like, wait a minute, this guy, I just saw him kick a field goal and now he just punted the ball with his other foot. What's happening here? I love this guy.
An ambidextrous kicker.
Yeah. Well, I've always been like, how come somebody can't kick and punt? I mean, I know why, but like McAfee did both. Like, we should have more guys that do both, but I've never seen one that could do it with two opposite legs. It's fantastic. So I'm just saying, 90th man on the roster, you get two camp legs in one. And you don't have to worry about him wearing out because, okay, his right leg's tired today. Well, then today's a punting day. I love it. I want to see it. And you've lost interest, which is fine.
I'm not even here mentally.
Yeah, I know. Maybe.
What's your hockey thought? What do you got?
I am officially a Chicago Blackhawks season ticket holder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Even though they stink.
They're not going to, though.
They're like 1 or 2 years away.
Oh, I know that. I know that. I'm not.
Where are your seats?
We're going 200 level.
Oh,
yeah. We're going big. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to be able to go to every game. I'm not going to be able to go to a lot of games. But I'm in, man. I feel like the Hawks are coming back. I enjoyed this season, even though they were horrible. And they're going to get another, if the lottery goes their way, they should have another, you know, maybe top three pick. Bedard is just unbelievable. I took my family in March. We sat in the 200 level. It was a great experience. And I'm like, all right.
See, I took my sons at the end of our spring break. We sat in the 200 level too. We saw them lose to, who did they lose to? But not a good team. I want to say it was the Minnesota Wild.
Okay.
Where you had the two rookies kind of going at it. And both my sons, my older sons, wondered when the Hawks would be good again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, you guys were just almost too little to experience the Patrick Kane, the Jonathan Toews days. They know the names. They've seen some highlights, but they missed it.
Yeah. No, it's and same with James. Like he knows who Kane is. But here's what got me though, when they got Bedard last year, like he instantly knew, I think even before the season started, he's like number 98. Like I remember watching the first game this year and he was just like, where's number 98? You know, because he's trying to find, you know, is he on the ice? Is he off the ice? He's like 98, 98, Connor Bedard. And then we went to the game later in the season. So the Hogs are all in, man. Hockey Hogs.
Hockey
Let's Hogue. Go.
My boys have Bedard jerseys.
Nice.
They got those, a year ago, right after his selection.
Yeah. Now I think they're going to take a step forward next year. I think it would be if they could be in the mix for the playoffs next year, I think would be a fair step forward. And then 2 years from now, you're thinking contention.
Yeah. We've completely lost the Bears listeners on our podcast.
That's okay. That's why we're doing this.
Someone who covered those teams and like the championship feelings. Great drafting. Like over time is how that Hawks team was built. Like that team, those teams were so deep. They hit in multiple rounds. But at the end of the day, hitting on like back to back first round picks, Toews at 3, then Kane at 1, like that propelled that organization like almost instantaneously within a matter of years. They're in a Western Conference final.
Yeah. And it's just similar vibes here. Maybe Kane will come back.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to bring it back home in that sense, but yeah. But like for with what the Bears are building, if you want to compare it to that dynasty that the Hawks kind of built.
Well, and that's kind of why I wanted to bring this up just as a last fun thing. Because if you were to buy season tickets for a team in Chicago right now, my situation is a little different. I think you can make an argument for the Bears, but especially, you know, they're getting Caleb and all this stuff. Our personal situation is different because, I mean, I can't go to the games. Neither of us can go to the games in the stands. So it doesn't really make sense. But I do think the Bears would be up there. I mean, but to me, the Hawks are the obvious number two team if they're not number one. Just in terms of the value of the tickets, where the team's headed.
Well, there was a certain hope attached to Patrick Kane, and he delivered on it. Like, so if you're looking at like the comparison with Caleb Williams, both first overall picks, Kane brought in a level of expectation. He changed the hope. Like, he brought in hope. He rebuilt that hope. And like, then he delivered. There was like an instantaneous euphoria that the Blackhawks hit on a superstar. Like, if that type of feeling comes with Caleb Williams at some point this football season, like, that's hard to, that's so even, like, just hard to get because teams miss on first picks.
So, is the number 9 pick going to be the equivalent of Jonathan Toews?
We'll see. We will see.
It's interesting. All right. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for this draft to be here. So if we could just fast forward to next Thursday, that'd be great. We're not going to quite do that, though. We are going to have one more show for you on Tuesday next week.
We talked to Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham that day.
That's right. That's right.
So maybe Wednesday.
Yeah. We had that discussion. We'll figure that out here in the next couple of days, how we're going to handle that. Because we could just do something fun, too, that doesn't have to do with them. Maybe a mock draft. Something like that. We'll figure it out. Let us know. Tweet us at Hogan Johns if you want, and what you want to hear on Tuesday as our final draft prep gets to the finish line. And then our plan next week is to have a show Friday morning for you. I think we're going to go live Friday morning because there's just too much going on Thursday night. We got a live show for CHGO. Johns has got to cover everything with the draft. So we're going to jump on early Friday morning to recap everything that happened Thursday. Sort of like, you know, Friday morning post-game show, for instance, and then we'll recap everything when the draft's over as well. So that's kind of the plan for the next week. Appreciate all the love and support. Please hit subscribe on YouTube. Please hit the like button and rate and review the pod. If you're on Spotify, don't click on that new Taylor Swift album just yet. You want to click on Hogan Johns first, hit subscribe, leave a little, you know, rate and review, listen to this episode. And then when it's over, then you can go check out the new album that she released for my birthday.
I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea.
She did it for my birthday. She said that.
Oh, sure she did.
Yeah. Sure. So, you know, just saying. And, yeah, hope everyone has a great weekend. Check out the merch, those quarter zips, HoganJohns.com as well. I don't want to forget about those. Johns is rocking the polo today. Everything we're wearing today, courtesy of Obvious Shirts. Got my old JD shirt still on, representing. Shows you the quality of their products. This one's not even new. Still looking, still holding up. And we are out of here. We'll be back Tuesday, Wednesday-ish. We'll talk to you then.
See ya.
Nothing's off the table. Nothing is on the table right now.